Now, back to a couple of guys that think Dr. Doolittle was a quack. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, Karen Stiles, who is with the Des Moines Public Schools as Environmental and Agricultural Sciences Head. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Well, thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. It's our pleasure to have you. Karen, for our listeners who don't know what it is that you do, can you explain what it is that you've actually created inside an Iowa school so that they can understand what you've built?
All right. Well, I'm a marine biologist who's also a teacher, and we've created in Des Moines Public Schools a marine biology program and now an aquarium science program coupled with it that has 120 saltwater aquariums, with the largest being 2,500 gallons, and we have an active aquaculture program now, too.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to come out and visit. You might remember my visit, and I was just floored. You know, I can't imagine anything like this existing anywhere in the planet, even though it's one of those things that I've been hoping and trying to inspire for years. What you've done is just short of a miracle. Well, maybe it is a miracle. How did you come about creating this absolutely fantastic aquarium?
Well, everything starts out small, and it started with an idea from our superintendent. He actually wanted to have a central location so that students from all schools could have the exact same education. So one-of-a-kind classes would be offered at a central downtown school, Tech High. It was the old Tech High. And so we have Chinese, Japanese, and he wanted sciences, and one of those was marine biology. He knew of my background scuba diving and my marine biology background and asked me to start it. And he was so desperate, he said that if I would start it, he would give me his son's aquarium to start it with.
And what year was that?
That was 1985-86 school year.
Wow. What was kept in that aquarium?
The first aquarium had blue chromis and clownfish.
So saltwater. So has it always been a saltwater journey?
It's always been a saltwater journey.
Right.
But how big was that original tank? Like a 55-gallon or something like that?
No, it was actually a 29 gallon.
Wow. Yeah. That's a far stretch from 2,500.
Yeah. How many total gallons? How many total gallons are all the tanks combined, and how many square foot is that building? Or that you're part of the building? Do you know those things?
Unfortunately, I don't know those things.
Wasn't it a 14,000 square foot facility or something like that?
I know that it was over 10,000 feet.
Yeah, 10,000 square foot. Wow. So, you know, that it's as large as the front of our store, and that's to say something because that's a pretty large space. And it's just amazing. They are, when I was there, I was amazed because they had coral propagation, but they also had clownfish propagation. When did that start?
We actually started that last year. We moved into this new facility last school year, so that's when it actually started. We were able to do some things minimally in our old classroom, but with the remodeling, we have a much, much better facility because we're able to close the clownfish off into a dark room so we can control day and night so that they are more apt to breed.
And what have you seen with respect to the students? How have they received this whole process, and how has it changed your style of teaching?
The students have a tremendous amount of ownership with this classroom because they've done the moving and they've done a lot of the building and certainly the propagating. And we don't move faster than the students can move themselves during class time in general because we want them to have ownership of the program. We've seen enrollment double. We have right now each of the classes is two periods long instead of a single class period that most courses would be. And we have a waiting enrollment of about 200 students. And we right now have 150 students, which is the max we can handle, which would be the equivalent of 300 students, because you would actually double their class periods.
Wow. And Karen, from the students seeing these tanks and being involved in it, how has it affected them in terms of, are many of them saying that they want to start up their own home tanks? Or is it starting a fire in them to want to pursue having their own aquariums at home in the future?
Or even that, how about pursuing the whole education in science?
It has been wonderful to see. When I first started the program, it was mostly boys, and now it's very much 50-50, guys and gals. And I see number of the students starting their own aquariums in their homes. And many, many of the students, of course, are juniors and seniors, so they're going off to college, and many of them are pursuing careers in the ocean sciences, many of them in the biological sciences, as far as medicine or environment goes, and many of them actually in the aquarium sciences. So they had no concept, no contact with the ocean prior to this program, many, many of these Midwestern students, and now it's their future.
I can't imagine there being many schools in the world, let alone the country or your state, that actually teaches aquarium science. Would that be a fair statement at your level, high school?
I've never heard of it being taught as a full-fledged class. There may be a unit, but I've never heard of it taught as a high school class.
Wow.
And Karen, if other teachers are out there who are interested in doing the same thing or pursuing similar ends, what advice would you give to them?
Well, I have found that I can't do this by myself, that's for sure, that involving the students, the community, parents has been a tremendous, tremendous asset. The original room started with a request, does anybody have any aquariums sitting around in their garages and basements that you would like to donate to a school program? And it grew from there, asking for donations from sports fishermen of things like sailfish and salmon that you might be able to hang on the wall, shell collections. So we have also created a natural history museum here from all the many donations that we've gotten from around the world and from community members. So I would start there with the request.
Yeah, I remember you pulling out from a drawer. It was a long cylinder type of animal that was kind of, I don't know, it had a really interesting exoskeleton. And obviously the animal that must have inhabited that was really peculiar. And there were animals I never even knew existed on the planet, and you had skeletons of those. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about. It had the most, it was like a, I can't imagine even a Fabergé egg company making something as delicate as that thing. It was just amazing.
We have a lot of really amazing things, and one of, I think, the most amazing things for the kids is the long piece of baleen that we have hanging up that's come in from Alaska, and so that would be a resource. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at the Rocky Mountain Arsenal in Colorado, Commerce City, Colorado, teachers can make written requests to them. And many of my specimens came from them that have been actually confiscated. So that's another wonderful resource for teachers.
Wow.
It is, Lee, I kid you not, this place is out of the box amazing.
Oh, I believe you. I've seen your place. And if you're saying my place is nothing compared to this, that's an impressive statement. Now, Karen, let me ask this question, because there had to be, this couldn't all be donations. How much does it cost for you to run this, and who pays for it?
Well, honest with you, a lot of it really is donations or grants.
Wow.
I wrote a tremendous number of grants to get a lot of the resources that are in this program. Now, the school district was remodeling this building, and we were one of the first programs to receive a new facility. So the facility is paid for by the school district. The infrastructure or items like the aquariums were paid for by grants and donations, and many of the pet stores or wholesalers have been very supportive of the program, and so they've given us wonderful discounts to help us out. So it's actually still paid for by volunteers, fundraising, and grants, mostly.
Well, that's got to be a lot of fish food being donated.
Yeah.
So
when you go, yeah, you'll bet. When you go there, you see a, I think it was a Model T or something, one of the first Ford vehicles. The building that you're in is actually an old Ford manufacturing plant. Isn't that the truth?
Yes. In the 1920s. That's when it opened up, and it made Model Ts. And in World War II, around 1942, it actually started building airplane parts for Solar Aircraft Company. And that continued until about 1951, and then the Des Moines schools bought it, and eventually it became a vocational high school. And now an educational resource center.
So the difference being from vocational resource to educational resource center is it tends to cater to all levels, including skills trades, but also academic pursuits beyond that, college pursuits, right?
Right. We're like six schools within one school. We even have an elementary and a middle school here. We have advanced placement classes, world languages like Chinese and Japanese, Italian. We have airplane mechanics and nursing and so on. We actually have 59 schools and 27 school districts that come here, but it does belong to Des Moines Public Schools. Like I said, the superintendent wanted everybody to have an equal education. So if Roosevelt School has Chinese, but East and North don't, he didn't feel that was fair, so that's why he centralized them.
Well, wow. It's a terrific idea, because I remember a day when they thought a planetarium was an original idea, but it doesn't sound like they've got anything on you guys. Karen, talk to me about what you've got now. Is there anything new that you've recently added that the audience would be interested in hearing about?
Well, I think the item that the students are most excited about right now is they have their jellyfish exhibit up and going. So they've gotten moon jellies. Omaha Aquarium was very generous to us to donate our first batch of moon jellies. So we have 70 moon jellies in our jellyfish aquarium. And they also donated to us some upside-down jellyfish called Cassiopeias. And so we have those now, and that's been a really exciting addition. You'll see all kinds of students roaming the halls of coming to see the exhibit through the window.
Oh, I would imagine it'd be interesting, but from a safety standpoint, are there any safety concerns?
No. These jellyfish don't have stings, the moon jellies.
Oh, okay.
That can hurt students at all.
Hey, right here at Michigan State University, we have a zoo and aquarium science discipline within the zoology department. And I think I need to be sharing words with them and somehow encouraging your students to get recruited here. Because this would be like having, we have the ideal facility for somebody that had a really good opportunity to learn more about zoo and aquarium science. So I'm going to throw your facility name around the area and see if we can't kick up a little support. You guys, I would love to see some of your students graduate and come right here to Michigan State University.
I would like to see that, too. I just got done writing about 27 letters of recommendation, and I think it would be great to have some of them going to some of our Midwestern schools. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Well, especially,
I'm looking forward to come visiting their program, because I was not very familiar with it till you said something.
Hey, well, thank you.
And we'll take any of your recruits as long as they're good with football too.
No, that's an
important part.
No, the football players can go elsewhere, but biology students, Michigan State University place is the place for you.
Right, Karen. I'm afraid to say we've run out of time, but before we let you go. show. If anyone from this area were interested in seeing your facility, is it something where the public can come in and take a look?
Absolutely. They're welcome to come anytime. We have visitors all the time. We usually have about 5,000 kids that come through here visiting during the school days. And
Real quick, how do they contact you?
Our school phone number is 515-242-7846 for the school, and they will get the information to me.
Fantastic. We've been speaking with Karen Stiles, who is with the Des Moines Public Schools. Karen, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about it. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for that opportunity.
And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation with the Big Zoo Lesson right after the break on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.